Welcome to Inspired Artist Podcast with me, Sirgun Kaur. In this episode, I am speaking with Sukha, who is Sukhmani and Sukhman, a couple from California who spends 300 days of the year typically touring. So these are seasoned musicians. Sukhmani graduated from Berklee School of Music, and they met in a band in Boston and have continued their musical journey together. They are really fun to speak with. They're going to be doing a lot of touring this year, which you can catch them on. And let's get into this conversation. Here we go. Are y'all on tour right now, or are you in California?
We are in California. We're leaving on October 26th for a little East Coast
jaunt. Actually, we're leaving on the 23rd.
Or the 23rd, I'm sorry. I cannot get these dates together. Yeah, the 23rd.
Cool. So where are y'all going?
New York City, upstate New York, Ahimsa Festival, some workshops in Connecticut,
Canada,
a couple of gigs there. Where am I missing, Sukhman?
That's it. Yeah,
that sounds like a pretty big tour. How long is that?
About 10 days, I'm thinking.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you have a lot packed in.
We do. That's usually how we do it.
And do you bring musicians with you, or is just the two of you?
Andy Flax is going to join us.
Oh, how fun. Yeah, I'm going to be singing with her.
I know. I'm so excited. That's awesome. We're just going to miss you, I think, which is a bummer.
Yeah. You're coming basically as I'm leaving.
Yeah. So next time. I've seen you before and you're great. Trip Dudley will be joining us. Another percussionist named Steve Nelson and
Ezra Landis at Ahimsa.
Yeah.
Cool.
It'll be fun.
I've never been to Ahimsa. What's that like?
This is our first time as well.
Oh, okay. So like it was not on my radar at all, but I've been hearing about it because Gary Goldberg, do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah, so he keeps tagging me in these posts about it. I don't know why. But so I every time I get to see it, I'm like, Ahimsa, huh? That sounds like fun. But so you're the second or third person I've heard refer to it. So perhaps it's something I need to check out.
Yeah, now it's on your radar. I think Jai Uttal is going to be there. Mirabai Seba, kind of Ajit will be there. And a lot of other, like the Hanuman and some other pretty nice music happening. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And where is that?
So
Hunter Mountain,
which is where?
Upstate New York.
But it's in the Catskills, I believe.
It's something or other on the Hudson. But it's by the ski.
Winery, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This is at the Hunter Mountain Ski Resort So they've been doing it for I think 7 or 8 years, and we're super stoked. We're actually going to be on Gary's program in New York. We always stop in and play music when we're around for him. We go into his studio. It's incredibly fun. It's like a time warp back to the 90s. Actually going into a radio station and playing live music.
That's
on the air.
That's crazy. I did not realize he had an actual radio station.
Oh, he has. He works at WRPI, which is the Rensselaer Polytechnical Institute in Troy, New York. Ironically, that's my brother attended his undergraduate architectural studies there back in the 80s and early 90s. And now we're playing mantra music on their station. Their station is amazing. They have, a web feed, and we listen to not only Gary's two shows. He has In the Spirit, and he has the Gary Show, Both of them are pretty much music shows, but he always interviews incredible guests. He has incredible musicians on it. It's a blast and a treat to spend time with him. He's an amazing person and a huge supporter of our community, and we love him to death.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah.
That sounds so new. So where did you say he was in New York?
Troy, New York at WRPI.
WRPI.
I believe it's 91.5. They call it Pirate Radio. They have a pirate sign as their logo.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Even though they're not pirate, they're legal. But they have an incredible span. Also, that I think it's like a very powerful for a college radio station. And I think it's almost 100-mile radius from Troy, New York that they get.
Wow. And probably... Probably you can listen to it online, right? Because you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's for, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. That's how we listen to it out here.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I left it on the other day and I was like really excited at the music I was hearing. And it just, you know, no commercials, just kept going. Oh. Kind of nice.
And the college kids talking like,
yeah,
we know what we're doing, but we know that this music is cool. It's awesome. And they play really good music, man. I mean, Gary's programs are great, but like all of the music that we've heard on that station is amazing.
Oh, wonderful.
We listen to another college station that's down here in SoCal, 88.5. I think they're somewhere in San Diego. I'm not sure, but again, one of our favorite stations to listen to just because they throw on a bunch of local folks and then they play a lot of like older stuff, and it's really just great radio. Love radio.
I don't think I've listened to radio in a very long time. This is getting me excited to listen to this now. Oh. I do like Spotify. I think mainly Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No DJs.
No. Yeah. Well, I DJ my own music. I like to make playlists.
Oh yeah. No. But, and we love your playlists, but the DJs, you know, just voice and what they think and talking about the day's events and tying it into what they're playing and mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, it's all.
Yeah. Well, and also a great way to learn about new music.
For sure.
You know, because I'm not even sure how that works. Like, how do people, you know, I know Spotify has featured people, so you find out about that way, but it's, I guess I find out about people more through my friends. I found out about you guys from Gilbert Yoga. That's how I first listened to your music. Yeah.
Speaking of radio, I remember when we were, I think because we're in the car so much that we kind of end up getting tired of what's on our phones or whatever. So, but when we were in Phoenix, or somewhere around Phoenix, there was a radio program that was done by what's that? Alice Cooper. This was like in the middle,
really?
You know, of the evening where he was the DJ. So he was,
wow, really?
He was playing like all this old rock, but it was like really good. And he was so funny. And it was so random because we just were kind of going through the stations. And that was very entertaining. He was really funny. So it's actually some local station in Arizona somewhere that I think has a weekly show. So it's kind of funny to listen to.
I would love to hear that. If anyone knows what station that is, you can write to me listening to this.
I can probably find it for you somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah, that would be really fun to listen to. What a great concept in general, just to have like old rock, you know, or old musicians.
Yeah.
You know, so knowledgeable, just playing their favorite music on radio.
Yeah, and telling like the old stories and stuff. And and he's just, I don't know, he has a great like speaking voice and just a great kind of personality. So it made total sense.
So was that a genre of music that you listened to?
Well, I'm probably going to date myself, but yeah.
Yeah.
I went through that. That stage. I had brothers too, so I was introduced to, you know, rock music, you know, when I was pretty young. So I was exposed to it, kind of heavier stuff for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like all genres of music. My dad was a huge jazz fanatic, so, you know, that was always playing in the house. But yeah, I mean, I definitely, there was rock involved in my growing up for sure.
Yeah. How about you, Sukhman?
Oh, I love everything. I mean, I've listened to stuff from every genre, I think. And, you know, I think anything that's played or written with heart, I love. You know, even singing bowls, as long as it's done with heart.
But you were a rocker, though.
Well, yeah, I had a rock stage. I had a reggae stage. I had a punk stage. I had a Philip Glass stage. I had a Frank Zappa stage. I had a blues stage. I had a jazz stage. So, but I do love rock, and I actually, you know, and that's where I met Sukhmani was, you know, she was at Berkeley in Boston, and she came to audition. Well, she didn't come to audition. She was asked to audition from band members that I was in a band with to come and sing for us because they knew her through the school. And my bassist at the time had actually played in another band with her. So they got her to come in, and that's how we first met, was that, I think we might've met somewhere like around the school activities for Berkeley. I never went to Berkeley, but because my band played, all of the members in my band were attending Berkeley. So I ended up going to different things where I think I had met her before that. And then, but we really connected when she came in and she agreed to come in and sing for us. And we worked together for over a year before we actually hooked up.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you just happened to mention that. What a great story. Yeah.
Thanks for that tidbit.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Interrupt. Yeah, he told all the guys in the band that they weren't allowed to date me.
It was grounds for dismissal.
And you're like, why? How come no one seems to like me?
I know. And then he broke the rule and kind of broke up the band, basically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It was worth it, though, huh?
Yeah. It seems to be, you know, what was supposed to happen. We're on the path. It's been 20 years or something now. So,
wow. So
22.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like most people who are doing kirtan music don't necessarily come from like a long-standing musical tradition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting for me to hear that like you went to Berkeley, which is this, you know, incredible music school. I've had a couple of friends go through Berkeley and I know how intense that is.
Yeah.
That's really cool. How do you feel that influences the way you approach, you know, the genre that you're in, the Kundalini yoga mantras?
Well, you know, it just kind of happens naturally, but I think because I've been, you know, music has just been part of me for so long that, you know, I just have maybe more experience under my belt. So maybe it's easier for us to, you know, create more music or, you know, just tap in. I remember when I was younger, it was harder for me to just sit and sing in front of somebody, you know, and, you know, the lyrics part was pretty easy, but the, you know, so I was just in a different place. So since we've been doing, you know, the music for a while now, it just seems easy. hence the name Suka, I guess. But it came just as easy as the name. And, you know, we've been working together for so long, and we have, you know, just, we know each other. And so it's kind of easy to tap into, just sit down and kind of play, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just the Kundalini either. We've been kind of directed into bhakti yoga as well. Mm-hmm. We play a weekly bhakti class in SoCal at Dharma Yoga House in Dana Point every Sunday morning for the past year or so. And so that's been a lot of, you know, new territory for us, even though it's mantra. It's, you know, it's beautiful playing Kundalini mantras, and it's beautiful playing for Sukhmani's classes and the events that we do. But, you know, it's also beautiful to, you know, really raise the roof and get a lot of, you know, great energy going. And I know that's done in Kundalini as well, but, you know, it happens every week in our bhakti class, which is super fun. Seems like we're dialed a little bit more up at times in that class, because we have, you know, tons of people that are singing and using the music to get through the different poses that they're doing. So it's a lot of, it's both energy,
a lot of energy. Yeah. Tons. Cause it's call and response with, like, I'm sure, you know, like, you know, a flow yoga. So it's pretty like challenging yoga. And then we're asking everyone to sing back.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, so it's pretty, you know, it's pretty magical. There's a teacher that leads it, and then we do the Laura Love teaches the class, and then we provide the music. So yeah,
that's what I started out in, was bhakti yoga.
Wow.
Yeah, the first person that I ever did kirtan with was Cece White.
Oh,
and
she's
she invited me to sing response vocals. Which was just an amazing experience. And so when I did my Kundalini yoga teacher training and I heard, you know, kirtan in that way for the first time live, it was kind of an adjustment. I was like, this is a, you know, a little bit more sit and meditate than jump up and down, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're mostly, as you know, just kind of singing together, which is great, you know?
Yes.
And then there's not so much call and response. I know that there's the Adi Shakti call and response, which is fun to do. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, we don't have as many, like, bhakti relay going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is different.
Yeah.
And anyone who's listening to this, by the way, down the road, who doesn't know who Cece White is, look up Cece White. You'll be so happy you did.
Yes. Yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah. If it had not been for her, I think it might have taken me a lot longer to become a mantra artist.
Wow.
I thought I had completely embarrassed myself in front of her. And then she, like, called me the next day and was like, I'd love for you to sing with me. Like, okay. Well, yeah. Really
cool.
So
does she do like yoga while, or was it just a bhakti sit down, or does she do yoga too?
I've never seen her do yoga. I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
But it was never a part of the music that she did. Yeah.
Awesome.
That I witnessed. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. I know she's probably sung for a bunch of yoga classes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I was thinking about what you said about the musical experience before entering the mantra genre and not having, you know, known that, but I know that, like, it got my mind thinking about Guru Singh, who was Jerry Pond. Right. Before, and signed to Warner Brothers and played folk music and did some gig with the Dead at some place early, you know, before he ever found Yogi Bhajan. And then it makes me think about Jai Uttal, who I know was playing a ton of different styles of music, and Guru Ganesha, who was playing a ton of different styles of music before. I think Krishna Das, too, was musical before he actually found mantra music.
That's interesting. I heard, I don't know, I mean, you hear so many different stories, but I heard that, so their guru named Karoli Baba, Krishna Das was the one who was like totally, well, maybe he was into music too, but he was totally about the asana practice. Like he was totally about that. And then the man who founded Anusara, what's his name? John Friend. Was like totally about the devotional chanting. And Neem Karoli Baba was like, you guys need to switch.
Good call. Good call.
Wow. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So, yeah, thanks.
That was a good move.
He knew. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, but maybe he also had, you know, the musical know-how prior to that too. That would have made sense.
Yeah, I don't know about him. I don't know his background too much. I mean, I know, of course, I love his voice is amazing. It had to happen.
Yeah. So. I was backstage at Bhakti Fest a couple of years ago, and Krishna Das was about to go on stage, and he had kind of a few people standing around him, and he shared with one of them, because I think she said, like, so how are you feeling, you know, like, because he's about to go on stage, and he goes, well, I had a 103 degree fever, you know, last time I checked, or something like that. And she's like, wow, how do you think this is gonna go? And he goes, well, we'll see.
Wow.
But I remember at the time thinking, like, wow, what an amazing, you know, character to put this thing that he's said he's going to do before his health, you know, or to believe that he could go up and do this, even though he has this like physical thing that would prevent most people probably from thinking that they could do that.
Absolutely.
And I remember it being a great set.
Wow.
You know? I bet it was.
Maybe it healed him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe he felt that, well, it couldn't hurt.
Right. yeah. That's amazing. Have you guys ever had the experience of like not feeling that you could?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We have the famous Dayquil sessions when Trip Dudley was staying with us a few years ago, that I was sicker as a dog and I would not give up. And so I would go on Dayquil and we would just get silly. I can't even count the amount of times that Sukhmani's played sick. I can't count the amount of times I've played sick. I mean, we pretty much do for the past 5 or 6 years is play live. I mean, we were averaging. We slowed down in the past like month or two, but we were averaging like over 300 times a year. We would play live in different events, venues, classes, or whatnot. So
wow,
when you do that, you cannot help. I mean, I've actually played with broken hands before, but I never said anything about, but Sukhmani knew about. I actually played with a broken left hand and a broken right hand while we've been at this.
Wow.
And we don't give up gigs for anything except for, you know, the fact that we can't make it to the gig for, like, you know, transportation reasons, or which we, knock on wood, has not happened yet either.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get sick that much. I mean, we definitely are always like, if it's cold season, we have the thieves going, and we have, you know, like all the oils, and because that's the thing, is that when you're in classes, there's
sick people,
lots of germs. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know, it's happened a couple of times where we haven't, where we've canceled a class, or I've not taught. Because, I mean, if I'm just teaching like a yoga class, of course I'd want to show up and teach. But sick. Like, I don't want to show up and get people sick. So if I'm like, you know, in that kind of situation. But yeah, it's a lot. We're on the road a lot. We're moving a lot. So
what does that look like for you guys? Is there a van or just, you know?
A Prius and a Jetta.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Prius has over 200,000 miles on it, and the Jetta has over 100,000 miles on it.
Wow. So you take two cars?
Oh, no.
No, we switch off.
I see.
Yeah. And yeah, it's, you know, if we're touring like on the East Rentals. Coast or whatever, we'll just rent a van or something. But yeah, we don't have the Suka van yet.
Yeah, yeah. Harnam calls that the full Tamburo, named after Crown of Eternity's Mike Tamburo.
Yes. God, you got that guy's amazing. I mean, all the work he puts into that is just—it's got to be a lot. I mean, with our loading and unloading, it gets kind of, you know, crazy. But we do sound baths sometimes. But with all those gongs and setting up that big stage thing, it's pretty impressive.
yeah, it is. So how much are you guys loading in typically, or taking with you? Are you bringing like a whole sound system everywhere you go, or?
No, it's most of the place, bigger places and stuff. We generally just bring a harmonium and my pedal board and a guitar and a couple of mics in case we don't like the mics that they have. Mm-hmm. But if we travel,
speakers, yeah.
Yeah, if we travel, then we have to have speakers and stuff, and you get creative about either borrowing them or mm-hmm. finding ways to rent them for super cheap or next to nothing.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, it just, fortunately for us, we're not carrying stacks of Marshalls anymore or anything like that.
Yeah, this is interesting.
It all fits in the overhead bin.
Oh, yeah. So I just recently purchased this tiny harmonium that fits really well in overhead luggage. I love it. Do you guys take your instruments into the plane with you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But a lighter harmonium might be a good idea for me. I love my harmonium, but it's too much. Yeah.
I'll send you a link. It's 9 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Prem Vidu was telling me about your harmonium.
I think
that was him. And I was definitely intrigued. So yes, please send me a link. I would love to check it out.
I will.
Because anything to make it easier on us. You know.
Well, and I purchased it, I think, because when we were going to Europe, we were going to be on those tiny planes, you know, the commuter planes, and my harmonium just would not have fit, and you know, putting it underneath was not an option for me.
No. You don't want to do that. Yeah. Especially the instruments that you love, really. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to put them in there. They can't even keep track of regular luggage. I don't know what they do with musical instruments.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it close.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do y'all have planned in the next few days here? I assume it's more playing live.
We actually have a couple of days off. And then we have some classes and events this weekend, you know, just locally in LA and Orange County. And then, yeah, I guess it's my birthday on Friday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. So I know that Sukhman's been planning for months for this one. So I'm excited to see what he comes up with.
She's totally joking.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. So it should be fun. We'll do something fun.
How you guys drive from San Diego to LA for yoga, for Guru Singh's classes at Yoga West, yeah?
No. Orange County is where we live, and we don't do Guru Singh's classes on Tuesdays, unfortunately, because, well, we had a class ourselves on Tuesday nights in Costa Mesa for a while, and then Sunday mornings is when our bhakti class is, so we don't get to that one either.
Oh, okay.
We used to, though. Yeah, and actually, I
meant the Thursday evening one we had.
Yeah.
And yeah, but we used to play with Guru Singh at Yoga West, and now pretty much it's like at special events or during, you know, anytime he asks us. Or, but Sukhmani teaches at Yoga West every Sunday night, so we do drive from Orange County to there every Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we moved, it was, we couldn't do Guru Singh's classes anymore. It just wasn't, I think his Thursday class is like right during traffic. Both classes are right during like prime time traffic time. So it'd take us like 2 hours to get there each way. So, but he's always fun to accompany whenever we can.
He's a blast. That looks like fun.
Yeah.
That's a big party. That feels bhakti-ish.
It is. And it's very kind of, you know, impromptu, just kind of, you know, see what evolves. So it can be very, you know, surprising how just things come together musically and with his energy and the students. And it's very, I don't know. It's just kind of cosmic. It's awesome. when the vibes are going in his classes, there's something really special about it.
Yeah. I love watching his classes. They're awesome. Somebody actually who'd never seen him before that I brought, it was Prem Vidu, cause you guys had him come for
Satnam Fest,
and so he ended up playing with me because we're in Phoenix together. That was the first time that I realized he was a percussionist.
Oh wow!
We heard about that.
Yeah, that's funny. So crazy
because he plays guitar in the band of Now.
Yeah, well, also because anytime I'd seen him at Bhakti Fest, there was a percussionist in the band that he was playing with, and he'd just play like a little hand drum.
Sure.
And so I guess nobody was really using his full potential. He's an amazing percussionist. But anyway, he saw Guru Singh. He's like, wow, it's kind of like a, you know, he compared it. Sorry if I'm not using the right word. I'm apologizing to Prem Vidu if he's listening. But he, you know, sort of like this preacher, you know, it's like everyone, like getting everyone to stand up in church and, you know, clap their hands sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He has that charisma that's just over the top. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really fun. That was a fun time playing with Prem.
And then I sat with Guru Singh a few times at Satnam Fest in the Berkshires, and he's so still, you know.
Yeah.
And then he'll just say like a thing, and then, you know, and then maybe he'll have a whole conversation with you. But sometimes he's just sort of observing.
He's very follows that idea of just minimal, you know, just speaking only when it's really necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had conversations with him, but he is kind of, you know, he chooses his words and he's very thoughtful, but it's, you know, just a few sentences.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting.
Sorry, I had to sneeze.
Bless you.
Thank you. Just trying to make it not audible. Yes. So what would you say is your favorite experience or experiences you've had doing what you guys are doing?
This podcast right now. Seriously.
I'm
a big fan of today.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm a big fan of now.
Yeah. Today is the best day ever.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, I like that answer.
And thank you for having us on.
Yeah. My pleasure. My pleasure. It's awesome to get to talk to you. You know, it varies sort of the people I have on. Some people I know really well and some people I don't know as much about, and I'm loving, you know, getting to know you guys more through this platform. Is there something that you want to share that we don't know yet?
Well, we're working on our third album. And so we're kind of in pre-production for that, I guess. Some people know that, though.
Cool.
You know, we have the tour and stuff, but other than that,
we have two full length, if nobody knows who we are, which is most people, we have two full length albums that we've already done, which are on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, blah, everywhere, YouTube, blah, blah, blah. But they are Rise and Cusp and, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to do an album for every chakra. And where we've done, Rise was our root, and Cusp was our sacral, and now Fire is core, our navel, and our, it's going to kind of be a very different album from our first two albums, but we're really proud and love our first two albums and all of the work and time and energy and experience that went into making them.
Yeah, we're realizing now that we should have just done like one album with a song for each chakra. That would have been easier.
Well, you could always do that for the next album, you know.
Yeah.
We'll we don't want to do any more albums, actually.
Yeah.
I think once we get through those, that'll be enough.
Oh my gosh.
If we ever do any other stuff, it would be like a live albums and just recordings like that.
Oh, fun.
That'll be a monumentous occasion.
Oh my God. When we finish the last album, we're going to do 8. So we're going to do one for the aura. But when we finish aura, then yeah, I think both of us are, I think we're probably gonna, depending on wherever we're at in life, we're probably going to want to just stop and take a break for a while.
That's really interesting that you sort of laid out an entire progression of your albums. I've only ever heard of that one other person where Sut Puttick had this like very clear idea that she just wanted to do this amount and then she's going to be done.
Yeah.
Did that come to you?
Yep.
And we've already named all of them and everything. So, you know, we're not putting limitations. You know, we're just kind of letting it
flow
and be inspired by those ideas. But, you know, besides that, we don't really have any, you know, specific stuff. I mean, we know what's happening on Fire, but the rest of them, we kind of have an idea, I guess. But
our one after Fire is Love, and I've been trying to talk Sukmani into a 61-minute version of Sunye for that.
Wow. For just the whole album, obviously.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Is anyone doing 62-minute tracks?
We are.
Yeah. No, I was trying to think. I was like, I love 62-minute tracks, but then I'm like, I don't know anyone who does 62-minute tracks.
Well,
there has to be one out there.
Yeah. I mean, the concept that we had with Cusp, which kind of happens for us because we know it, but we kind of wanted to make it a seamless album, you know? Uh-huh. And so we wanted each, but it's hard for technically nowadays where everything's digitized to, I mean, you would have to only sell it as an album. You couldn't sell it individual tracks that way, you know? So to make an album perfectly seamless,
Have any breaks.
Yes, I see where you're going. Yeah.
But I think there has to be a way to like cut it and then just call that song. And I don't know.
Well, so not to make it. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the only thing I've heard like that, where I think the tracks do stand on their own, is this album by, I can't remember her name, but it's called Le Fil, which means the thread. And it's a French album. And it's one tone that she makes with her voice throughout the entire album.
Wow.
That continues through every song. So every song obviously has to use that note.
Right.
And I think she did that way. But I think it doesn't feel like abrupt if you were to just start one track.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to investigate that more, but that's an option. But yeah, there's a lot of possibilities, obviously. So
we're big album fans.
Yeah. Well, if you do a 62-minute track, then you have
problem
the best
solved.
Of both worlds. Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
I don't think it's going to happen though, just because we have a lot of we found a lot of other things that we were like, that would be good on. You know,
so. A lot of heart chakras. I mean, a lot of heart mantras out there. So,
yes. Well, and then my mind immediately went to, oh my gosh, what a nightmare to have to listen to. Like, not when it's finished, but as it's
mixing,
being built. Yeah, because I mean, I can barely find, I just did a 22-minute version of a mantra, and like, I have to really find time to be able to sit down and listen to that with no interruptions.
Exactly.
Sure. Like 62, wow.
Yeah. That's intense.
It's intense. Like, and then your engineer's like, I tweaked this just a tiny bit. Like, tell me what you think. All right, I'll call you in an hour and a half.
It's so true. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way.
I think part of it though, that just made me think, is you got to have an engineer and, you know, someone helping you with production who you really sync with and trust 100% and, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully love their art as well. I mean, we have for every album that we make, I think we're going to try to use the same core group and the same production and engineer, which is, you know, Ram Dass, Jared May, Trip Dudley.
You guys use Ram Dass. That's cool.
You know, Supamani had it in a dream.
Huh. Yeah. He's excellent. I love working with him. So do you do that? Do you go to where he is, or does he come to you, or how do you do that?
For both albums, I think we traveled to him and he came to us in both, you know, for different recording sessions. So we did some of the core recording in San Francisco, which I have a lot of family. I grew up there. So we, especially during Cusp and Rise, we were up there a lot. So it worked out. Ram Dass has a home studio, and then we were using, what was the name of that recording studio, Sukma? You're not coming in through, we can't hear you anymore. Anyway, we did it in a legit studio in San Francisco somewhere, which was pretty fun.
Oh, because he was working for an actual studio.
Yeah. Right?
Is that, yeah.
And it was actually where like a lot of famous people had done recordings in the same room. So it was kind of fun to be there, and it just had that vibe, you know? Oh,
I'm here. I forget the
there
name.
You are. Okay. So it's we kind of, and then he came to our condo during Rise, I believe, and we recorded some things there. So we kind of popped around all over the place. Mm-hmm.
He came to my house right after I gave birth to my first son.
Oh, wow.
To record my album, The Cosmic Gift. And that was hilarious.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
Did you have to put the child in isolation booth?
Well, so my husband.
That was a joke.
No, but you have to hear the actual answer. Yes, sort of. So I think for one of the tracks, I nursed him. And then some of the tracks, my husband would try to, we had a bedroom with like a walk-in closet, and he'd try to like just, you know, sort of rock him back and forth in this closet.
Wow.
And then for a few of the sessions though, he took him somewhere, but I mean, he was pretty brand new. We were just out of the 40 days and, I had, you know, when I planned it, I had no idea what having a baby would be like.
And yeah,
like, of course, I'll be ready to record.
No problem.
Oh, that's insane. Yeah.
And so were you like sleep deprived when you were recording that album?
Absolutely.
In a good way, right? Delirious.
Yes.
Yeah, you just brought back a memory of when we recorded a kind of a first demo for Suka and all of the vocals.
Oh, I can't believe you're going to say it.
In this guy's closet. And I was staring at his, you know, dry cleaning the whole time. So it was funny.
Thomas Barkey. He actually has people record vocals in a closet. There's nothing in the closet, but that's his booth.
Wow. So
if you can picture like Sonatam singing on the floor in a closet, that's
like laying down?
How it was. No, like sitting, no. Oh. No, just sitting on the floor. He makes it nice and cozy. There's like a nice sheepskin and,
wow.
You know, it's has, you know, you have a light on or not, you know, if you prefer to chant in the dark. But he's right there, you know, because it's the closet to his office. Yeah.
The next album by Sonata, Mantras in Prone Position.
Yeah.
Mantras for Corpse Pose.
That would be an interesting recording technique.
Yeah.
Or instead of stand-up comedy, you can do lie-down comedy. Right? You just lay on your back.
That'll be album number 8 for you guys, right?
Yeah.
That'll be 9.
No, that'll be his solo album.
My solo album.
You can have that one.
I didn't know I got a solo album. Great.
That's a big task list.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep adding on.
No, yeah, I think we're done at 8. If we live that long, I'll be happy. If we get it done, great. That's
awesome. You and me both, love.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh, well, thank you both so much for coming on here.
Thank you for having us.
Would you tell everyone where they can find you and follow you and...
Sure. Our website is sukatheband.com, Suka the Band, and all of our events are there. You can get links to our music and other things. You know, we're at Yoga West in Los Angeles on Sunday nights. We do Kundalini with live music, and let's see, a few other classes in South Bay, LA, and Orange County, so feel free to go to the website and click on upcoming events and
Spotify.
Or you can go to my website too, which is hummingbirdyoga.org, and I have all my classes listed there too, and events. Yeah.
I will post that in the description too, so it's easy to click.
Thank you.
And yeah.
Awesome, Sirgan. Well, we hope to cross paths again soon. We'll see you one of these days, I'm sure.
Yes.
Thanks for inviting us on.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for being willing. And I trust that the rest of your day will be the best ever as well.
Likewise.
Awesome.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Satnam.